that good music. We're going to Acts 2 this morning, so if you find your Bible there in your New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you got the book of Acts, and we're going to chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and that'll be our text that we'll read. We will look at some other verses in the chapter as we speak this morning about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I don't always feel like it's necessary to preach on the resurrection on Easter Sunday, but with the message that God impressed upon my heart in my devotions last Monday morning. So I knew where I was headed from the very first day of the, since we met last time on Monday. And we'll read these verses, Acts 2, 22, 23, and 24. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And if you'd please join me on that 23rd verse when we get there, and I'll read the even-numbered verses together for us, okay? So I'm reading 22 and 24. Please join me on 23. Here's what it says. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for what your book teaches us. I pray that you'll take the sword of the Spirit this morning, which is the Word of God, and pierce our hearts with it. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every person in the room. I'm not sure why everybody came. Maybe folks came just because it was Easter. But, Lord, since we're here, we might as well want to hear from you. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would bring the Word of God to us in a plain and clear way today so that our hearts could comprehend and understand and grasp the truth. And may the truth set people free. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll have a song.
Sentenced him to die. When the crowd had heard the news, they shouted goodbye. Crowned with thorns, they mocked his name and nailed him to a cross. He hung there till his dying breath. Day one, all hope was lost. Still and quiet, the crowds had all gone home. His wounded body in the tomb, sealed with a soldier's stone. Believers who had followed him weep and question why. Seeds of doubt and fear take hold. Day two, disciples hide. Day three, his body's missing. The stone was rolled away. An angel of the Lord appeared when the women came, trembling out of fear and joy, amazed at what they find. They quickly run to spread the word. Day three, he is alive. Day one, that hill ran crimson red with blood to cleanse all sin. Day two reminds us to keep the faith when the doubts set in. Death to victory. The cross became an empty grave on day three. Day one, that hill ran crimson red with blood to cleanse all sin. Day two reminds us to keep the faith when the doubts set. Became an empty grave.
much. That's a good song. God bless you. I want you to look at the end of verse number 24, if you got a Bible this morning. The Bible says, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The he refers to Jesus Christ. The it refers to death. Okay? If you'd like to mark your Bible, you can circle the little word it, draw a line, circle the word death there in 24. The he is a reference to Jesus because it was not possible that he, Jesus, should be holden of it, talking about death. Now, if something's not possible, that makes it what? Impossible. So I'm not speaking on Mission Impossible this morning. That's too Hollywoodish. I'm speaking on the impossible mission, all right? And I turned it around, all right? The impossible mission, and I want you to listen carefully today. The Bible says it was not possible that he, Jesus, should be holden of it, death. The death was given an impossible mission. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts today through your word and to every heart in this room. May the Holy Spirit have some access. Dear God, you're not going to force your way into anybody's life. You're not that kind of God. You don't bully your way around. You stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, let him open the door. I pray that, Lord, people will have their hands on the doorknobs of the doors of their heart this morning. That they'll open that door and allow the Spirit of God to speak to their heart. Now, thank you for it. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Acts 2 contains the exciting story of the day of Pentecost. The day begins with 120 scared, fearful, confused, discouraged followers of Jesus Christ gathered in an upper room. And the day ends with 3,000 people getting saved, baptized, and becoming members of the church. I call that a seminar in church growth, wouldn't you? In one day. Now, of course, the reason for this was that these 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to witness and preach throughout all of Jerusalem. And God used their bold witness to bring people to Christ. They began to speak in languages which they had never studied. These are not unknown gibberish language. This is not what this was. How hear we every man in our own tongue? Those people said they were words that they could understand, all right, and comprehend. And they began to preach. And people began to come to Christ. And when it was all tallied up, there were 3,000 saved and so forth and so on. Now, this chapter contains the message that Peter preached on that day. There was an uproar all over the city. And finally, Peter stood up in verse number 14. It starts in verse 14 and it continues down through verse number 36. And he preaches a message. In his message, he mentions the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, get the setting here. Remember that Jesus Christ's death and burial were just a little over 50 days earlier. That's all, about a month and a half, okay? Just over 50 days earlier, his body had hung on the cross, and at the end of the crucifixion, his body had been placed in the garden tomb. So not even 2 months has passed. Then, as Daniel just sang, his body was missing from the tomb in the garden. And it had been buzzing all around Jerusalem for all of this time. The grave keepers had been paid off by the Jewish elders to say that Christ's disciples came and stole his body away. And those grave keepers were paid money, hush money. Hush money about that. They weren't going to tell that there was an angel that came and rolled the stone away and so forth and so on. They were paid hush money. And so this is going on all around Jerusalem. Then there were reports that Jesus had been seen by many different people on several different occasions, eyewitnesses, since they said his body was stolen and taken away. These eyewitnesses said they had seen Jesus Christ. In fact, there had been one instance where over 500 people at one time. Now look, you saw him alive. You might disbelieve one person. In fact, the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. One person could not say, I saw, and you take it for granted, according to the laws of the Bible. Had to be at least two or three. Well, how does 500 sound? 500 sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? 500. So there was quite a stir in Jerusalem. And now for these last 10 days, you know, things have been kind of quiet. You got 50 days ago, a little over 50 days ago, his death and burial. And then 3 days after that, the word of his missing body began to circulate. And then you got for 40 days, people talked about seeing Jesus, seeing Jesus, seeing Jesus. And now for 10 days, everything had been quiet. For 10 days, the disciples have been gathered in that upper room, 120 of them. And now all of a sudden, on this day, here's 120 of these 120 people out preaching and witnessing and testifying about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter stands up and he lifts up his voice and he begins to preach. And he says in verse number 22, he says that Jesus was approved. I'm hurrying through these verses because I want to get to my text. He says that Jesus was approved of God. This was open. This thing was not done in a corner. It was not hidden. He was approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. Hey, Jewish folks, you saw all those miracles. You saw those wonders. You saw those signs. This thing was done in the open. God approved Jesus. He said in verse number 23, according to God's plan, He allowed you to take Jesus and crucify Him. You took Jesus and you crucified Him. That was all according to God's plan. And then He said in verse number 24, after God allowed you to crucify Him, the Bible says in verse 24 that God raised Him up. God raised Him up. Brother Joe, with a full house today, why don't you have it sit in the foyer, please? No more coming in. Can you do that for me and just route people just to have a seat in the foyer out there? And we're glad to have everybody that's come in so far. Very good. Now, the Bible says in verse 24 that God raised Him up at the end of the verse because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. It was not possible that Jesus should be holden of death. Now, folks, listen very carefully. There is no doubt that death had seized the body of Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. Remember, there were three people that were crucified on that day. Somebody can help me out in the foyer. We've got to get things situated here and seated and all together. Folks, I want everybody to be able to hear this morning. And you know what? If people come for Easter Sunday late, they can just stand in the foyer. Amen? You know, I mean, that's what we can do. I want to preach. We have some kind of this, all this coming and going. People can just go to a movie theater and sit for 3 hours. They can't come to church, so let's listen and pay attention, all right? And if my fellows can help me out there in the foyer, I know you can hear me. Let's have no more coming in and going out, please. All right, now, there's no doubt that death had seized the body of Jesus Christ. Remember, there were three crucified that day. Now, in order to accelerate their death, the soldiers were given permission to break the legs of the men on the cross. Now, why do they want to break their legs? Because those men were hanging there. The weight of their body was pulling downward, law of gravity, of course, and they could not get a breath. They would take their feet and they would push themselves up on that cross, enough to get a breath of air, and then they'd let themselves down again. They pushed. When they broke their legs, they could not use their legs to raise up and get a breath of fresh air. And so they were given permission to go and break the legs of those three men on the cross. They came to thief number one, they broke his legs. They came to thief number two, and they broke his legs. They came to Jesus, the person on the middle cross, and they saw that he was already dead. Thief one was alive. Thief two was alive. And so they break their legs, so they would die quickly. But Jesus was already dead. That's because the Old Testament prophets said that not a bone in His body would be broken. And friend, I'll tell you what, even if they had tried to break His legs that day, something would have happened. That would never have taken place. He was already dead. Wait a minute, just to make sure He's dead, that one of those soldiers takes a spear. I'm sorry to be so graphic, but up through the side of Jesus, puncturing His rib cage, up close to the sack around His heart, and the Bible says that blood and water came out. Death had seized His body. Death had gripped His body. Brother Payne, I don't turn this on. Just use it. Death had gripped the body of Jesus Christ, but it was not possible for death to keep its grip. The Bible says it's not possible. If it's not possible, it's impossible. Now, people, you can visit cemeteries and you can find markers that tell of people who died over 100 years ago, and death seized their bodies at the day of their death and still has them in its grasp. But not Jesus Christ. It was impossible for death to hold Him. There are some reasons why death was given an impossible mission. Death had an impossible mission to hold the body of Jesus Christ. Death was allowed to grip it, but death could not hold it. And there are three reasons why this was an impossible mission for death. Number one, right here in our text, I'll show them to you. Number one, because of the prophecy of Old Testament preachers. Because of the prophecy of Old Testament preachers. He says at the end of verse number 24, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then verse 25 says, for David speaketh concerning him. Now wait a minute. David was alive in the Old Testament. And then Peter begins to quote from Psalm chapter 16. As David writes in the Old Testament, one of the things David mentions about Jesus in Psalms 16, Peter repeats in verse 27. Are you with me? Okay? So Peter is quoting David from the Old Testament, and in verse number 27 of Acts 2, Peter says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Peter said, remember what David said? David said, first of all, that God would not leave his soul in hell. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into detail about all this teaches in that verse right there. But this is not referring to the lake of fire that comes later on. This is a reference to another place where people in the Old Testament went when they died. It was a place that was divided into two compartments called Abraham's bosom or paradise and called hell or Hades. All right? That's not talking about the lake of fire. Then I want you to see, he continues in verse number 27, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So Peter says, hey folks, death grabbed or seized the body of the Lord Jesus, but it was impossible for death to hold on to that body because David said that thine Holy One would not see corruption. Now, without being too graphic or inappropriate, it does not take long for a body to decompose after its death. That's why we have funeral homes and mortuaries where there are embalming and so forth and so on to keep the body from decomposing. The body begins to decompose quickly. The process begins soon after death. Jesus died. There's no argument there. The soldiers said, he's already dead. Let's make sure. We're not going to break his legs, but let's pierce his side with a sword. And blood and water came out. He didn't flinch. He was dead. So death gripped his body. Day one, the body of Jesus Christ is laid in that garden tomb. The devil was rejoicing. Jesus was dead. But the devil was not completely satisfied because he knew of Psalms chapter 16, and he knew God had said that corruption would not set into the body of Jesus. And so Satan went by on day one to check with death at the garden tomb. And Satan came by and said, death, how you doing? And death said, I'm doing just fine, devil. And Satan said, good, boy, what a victory. Jesus is dead. And death said, yes, he is dead. And he's in the tomb there. His body's in the tomb. And I've got it all sealed up. And I'm looking for corruption to come along. And Satan said, well, I'm sure corruption will be showing up about the right time. So just give it a little time and corruption will be here. On the day one passed. Day two, Satan came by the tomb of Jesus again. And death is standing there, but death doesn't look near as confident as it did on day one. The perspiration has started to break out on the brow of death. He's a little bit nervous and anxious about things. And Satan comes by, the devil comes by and says, well, death, day two, the body of Jesus still in there? Oh, yes, he's still in there. I got a grip on him. Good, you keep your grip. Devil, can I ask you a question? Death says. And devil says, what's that? And death says, where's corruption? I've been looking for corruption. Corruption hadn't shown up yet. Where is he? And the devil said, well, maybe he's had to visit several other places. You know, there were two thieves who died on the same day that Jesus did. And maybe he's running a few minutes late. You just hold your grip. Everything will be all right. He went on his way. Day three came by. And the devil walked by the tomb, the garden tomb, where the body of Jesus was laid. And Satan comes by and he says to death, death, how are you doing? And death responds, devil, I can't hold my grip any longer. And corruption hasn't shown up. And up from the grave he arose. That's why the songwriter wrote, vainly they watch his bed. Vainly. It couldn't happen. It was impossible. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And when Jesus walked out, death said, devil, I can't hold my grip. And out came Jesus, and on his way by, he stomped on the devil's head. Just like the Old Testament said he would. That's why this was a mission impossible for death. Impossible mission. Death couldn't keep the body of Jesus Christ in that grave because the prophesying of the Old Testament preachers, God had said Jesus was going to come out of that grave. So when the devil gave death the body of Jesus and said, hang on to it, he was given death an impossible mission. You with me this morning? Do you understand that? He couldn't do it. And Jesus walked out alive because of the preaching of the prophesying of the Old Testament preachers. Now, number two, this was an impossible mission because of the power of God. You got a Bible this morning? Look at verse number 24. The Bible says in verse number 24, whom God hath raised up. Look at verse number 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that had the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ. That's twice. Peter said, God's going to raise him. God says he's going to raise him up. Look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up. Look at verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Four times Peter makes a reference to the resurrection of Christ being because of the power of God. Folks, look, Jesus was raised up by the power of God. Death had been given an impossible mission to try to hold the body of Christ in that tomb. Why? Because God's power. Does death have power? Sure, death has power. Death has power. Death's an enemy. A strong enemy. A mean enemy. And death has power. Death seized the body of Denise on Wednesday morning. And when Jesus died on that cross, death seized his body. So death has power. But let me ask you a question this morning. When you measure God's power versus the power of death, who comes out on top? God does. And I want to tell you something, friend. There is no power struggle here. This is no tug of war. This is no strongman contest to see who is the most powerful. This is not God and death pulling back and forth over the body of Jesus Christ. No, God had already determined and God had already decided to allow death to have the body of Jesus for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus did not stay in death's grip 1 second longer than what God had decided. At the end of those 3 days and three nights, God's power broke death's hold, and Jesus came out of that grave. Now, let's say Brother Caleb here is a little toddler or a baby, just a few months old in our church nursery, and say by accident, by oversight, some nursery worker, somebody's in and leaves a sharp knife out in the nursery. Or this could be at your house or my house, and all of a sudden you look down on the floor, and here's this little child, little bitty child, and got a sharp knife gripped in his hand. And dad sees it, or one of the ushers, or even one of the ladies in the nursery sees it. And the toddler has the knife gripped in his hand. And the adult comes by, the person in charge or the parent, comes over and says, no, 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 no. Let me ask you a question. How much struggle is there between that adult and that child? Is there any struggle? No, the adult comes over. Oh! So death He looks like death warmed over, doesn't he, this morning? So here's death, and here's the body of Jesus Christ. Let me show you what did not happen. God did not come along, tug of war, and back and forth with death. You'd be like, and sweat and fight. And that's not what happened. First day, second day, third day, long enough. That's what happened. Thank you, Brother Caleb. That's exactly what happened. God raised him up by his own power. Long enough, death. You've had him the allotted 3 days and 3 nights, and I'm not letting this thing go any longer than what I said. The 3 days and 3 nights is up, it's over, it's done. Long enough, and the power of God seized the body of Jesus Christ in the grip of death. Can you say that's an impossible mission? Huh? It's no more possible for death to hold the body of Christ than it would be for an infant back there to hold on to a knife and the strongest man in this church go by and try to take it from him. That ain't going to happen. That child's not going to hang on to that knife. And it's not going to happen. Death is not going to keep its grip on Jesus because the body of Christ was brought out of the grave by the power of God. It's over. Done. So this was an impossible mission. Number one, because of the preaching of the Old Testament prophets, the prophesying of the Old Testament preachers. Number two, it was an impossible mission because of the power of God. Let me give you the third reason this was an impossible mission. In verse number 33, you got your Bible, look at it. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. That's talking about Jesus. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's talking about those 120 who were out preaching and witnessing. What about those 120? They had received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. He hath shed forth this God has which ye now see and hear. Now watch me, folks. The third reason this was a mission impossible for death to hold the body of Jesus in that tomb was because of the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not going to take the time to go into all the detailed teaching, but let me just give it to you in a summary this morning. Jesus is alive on the earth. He's got his disciples with him. And he says to them in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus says to those disciples, hey, fellas, he said, in a few days, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be buried, then I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to be gone. And their hearts were sad. You're not leaving us. Yeah, I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be here anymore. No, for 3 years, Lord, you've been with us these 3 years. We've walked with you and you've taught us and we've eaten together and fellowshiped together and laughed together and sorrowed together and we've seen you perform great miracles. No, in a little while, I'm going to die on the cross, be buried in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. I'm going to rise up and then sometime later, I'm going to be gone. No, don't leave us, they said. Oh, he said, it's all right. He said, it's all right. He said, when I go to my Father, He is going to send to you the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter. If I don't go to my Father, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to you. But because I go to my Father, the Holy Spirit's going to come to you. And the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit's going to be a blessing to you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you, and the Holy Spirit's going to fill you, and the Holy Spirit's going to comfort you, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, and the Holy Spirit's going to direct you, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach you the Bible, and the Holy Spirit's going to give you prayer access to God in heaven, and the Holy Spirit's going to fill you for witnessing. The Holy Spirit's going to be your great friend, but He won't come unless I go to my Father. Now, Jesus died, was buried, rose again. 40 days he showed himself alive. Now 10 days the disciples are in the upper room. At the end of the 40 days, Jesus goes to heaven. He's gone. Just like he said. They go to the upper room and they wait for the promise of the Father. What promise are they waiting for? They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in power. And there they wait and they pray. And they wait and they pray And they wait. And by the way, actually, I've even skipped over where they were in the upper room in John chapter 20. And Jesus ascended to his Father, came back down, and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now they're in the upper room 10 days later, and they're waiting and they're praying. And all of a sudden, like a rushing mighty wind, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon those men. They are now indwelt, and those ladies, they're now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They're now filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're out preaching and witnessing, and people are being saved by the hundreds and the thousands. And Peter said, "You see all this? This is the fulfillment of His promise. His promise was that the Holy Spirit would not come unless I, Jesus, ascended to the Father. Death could not hold Jesus in its grasp because the Holy Spirit had to come to this earth, and the Holy Spirit could not come to this earth until Jesus first went to heaven." They took Him off the cross. They put His body in the grave. He could not stay there. If He had not stayed there, if He had stayed there, we would not have the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts today. So He had to come out of the grave to go to heaven so God could send the Holy Spirit. You know, poor death. Death was given an impossible mission. "Hey, you got the body of Jesus. Have you got it, death? I have seized the body of Jesus Christ. Hang on to it." That was impossible. The preaching of the Old Testament prophets made it impossible. The power of God made it impossible. And the promise of the Holy Spirit made it impossible. And I'm so thankful that it's true that up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. I'm so thankful that the body of Jesus Christ came out of death's grip and He is alive today. Friend, He sits at the right hand of His Father and He is coming back to this earth one day and going to take us home from this place, and then He's coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It was an impossible mission for death to hang on to the body of Christ. And let me show you one last thing here. We'll wrap it up and be done. Look at verse number 37. Look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this." This what? This message. This preaching. "They were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What do we do? You know what? During Peter's preaching, the Spirit of God has started working on their hearts. We did crucify Him. We did put Him to death. We did put His body in the tomb. His body is not stolen. He is alive. "Peter, what do we do now? We're wrong, we've sinned, we goofed up, we crucified Jesus. What do we do?" And Peter said, "You need to repent. You need to come to Jesus Christ with your sin and ask for His forgiveness and trust Him as your Lord and your trust Him as your personal Savior and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven." And boy, people began to respond to that. By the hundreds, and at the end of the day, there were 3,000 people who got saved. You say, what does that have to do with us? Because they were the ones who put Jesus on that cross. No, friend, they were only partly responsible for putting Jesus on that cross. You and I had a hand in that. You say, no way, absolutely no way. I would never have taken Jesus and put Him on that cross. Oh, yeah. Because you know why He went to that cross? He went to that cross to die for sin. Now, do you have any sin? In fact, let me ask the same question that Jesus asked back in John chapter 8. "He that is without sin, let him throw the first stone." So who can stand this morning in this auditorium and say, "I have not sinned"? I can't say that. Can you say that, Brother Hanson? I don't even have to ask Brother Bragg. I know he can't say that. You say that, Brother Gardner? Can you say, I have not sinned? You say that, Brother Jeff? Even you sweet ladies? Nobody in this room can stand up and say, I have not sinned. You know what that means, folks? Our sin, mine and yours, put Him on that cross. We crucified the Son of God. And before you get all sanctimonious and pious about how you would treat Jesus, let me say to you that what those people did to Him is a picture of man's attitude toward God and Christ. They spit on Him. They slapped Him. Our sin put Jesus on that cross. We crucified the Son of God. But hallelujah, thanks be to God, our sin did not keep Him in death's grip, because death could not hold Him. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Our Savior is alive, risen, and living today, seated at the right hand of the Father, coming back to this earth someday. You know what? Everything happened just like God said it would happen. I don't think I would gamble the eternal destiny of my soul against the Word of God. Are you saved? This is what these fellows, Peter, what shall we do? We've crucified Christ, our sin, our wicked hands, put Him on the tree and crucified Him. What can we do? We didn't just crucify a man. We crucified the Son of God. What now? Well, God is not a vindictive God. He's a loving God, a compassionate God, a merciful God. He's waiting and willing to receive you and to forgive your sin and wash you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why don't you come and receive Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as your only hope for heaven? And friend, that's still true today. If you will come and receive Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as your only hope for heaven, God will forgive your sin, wash you clean, birth you into His family, and you'll have a home in heaven someday when you die. What shall we do? Come to Jesus Christ. I want to say this as kindly and nicely as I can this morning. But not just in this church, in churches all over our land this morning. People are making a religious show on Easter Sunday. Now, I'm not preaching down to you. If you came this morning because it's Easter, I'm glad that you're here. But you listen to me very carefully. This is no show and this is no game. One of these days, death is going to seize your body. Just like it did this dear lady last Wednesday morning. It seized her body, but it could not seize her soul. As soon, in fact, my wife took Denise and Amy a meal on Monday. And Denise was seeing an angel sitting on the end of the couch. She kept saying to Amy, don't you see the man sitting there? Don't you see the man sitting there? Well, she's delusional. No, she's not delusional, folks. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. People who get in that transition place between this world and the next world, their eyes begin to open to the scenes of the next world. And there was an angel sitting there waiting. And as soon as Denise breathed her last breath, I believe with all of my heart, before that last breath expired from her lungs, she was already on the street of glory in the presence of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, a lady came to our church. They've since moved away. And she thought her dad had gotten saved, but he died down at St. Mary's Hospital. And she said to me, Pastor, it was the craziest thing. She said, my dad was there in the bed, and at the very end, he gripped the rails of the bed and he began to shake violently, and he turned all red. And he said, I'm hot! I'm hot! I'm hot! I'm hot! I'm hot! She said to me, "What do you think that means?" I didn't have the heart to tell her. I just, "Well, I'm not sure, you know." I didn't have the heart to tell her. Death's going to seize everybody in this room. Death is going to seize our body someday. And you're going to go to one of two places. You're either going to go to heaven, or you're going to go to that awful place called hell. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ made it possible for everybody in this room to go to heaven. Whew. Are you ready? Are you ready? Death was given an impossible mission. That's why Satan came by. That's why Satan was so interested. You still got him? You still got him? You still got him? I'm losing my grip. It was proof that he was indeed the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His death, his burial, and his resurrection makes you ready, fit, prepared for eternal life in heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that heaven is your home, I beg you, friend, forget that it's Easter Sunday. Forget everything else that's about to happen in this week or next month. And you think for just a minute, when death seizes your body, are you ready for heaven? Have you been born into God's family? Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. And if we could have everybody just still and quiet in your place just for a few more minutes and we're going to be done. I'd like to ask two or three questions this morning. Just two or three simple questions, please. Now, all I ask, you know what I want you to do right now? First of all, I want you to just think about yourself. I want you to think about the person down the pew from you or across the auditorium. Just think about you. How many in this room, honest before God, would say, "Pastor Angel, I am ready. I am ready for that day. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am ready to go to heaven for a Bible reason." Would you be honest? If you can say that, would you raise your hand and just be honest? That's all I ask. Just be honest. That's all I ask. Thank you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, if you could not raise your hand just then, I appreciate your honesty. I want to ask you a question. You couldn't raise your hand. "Pastor Angel, I may not have seen you. Okay, I can't see everybody. So I'm going to ask this, Pastor." You say, "Pastor Angel, I did not raise my hand a moment ago because I am not sure that I'm prepared for heaven for a Bible reason. I'm just not sure. I could not raise my hand a minute ago. I may or may not have seen you. If you could not raise your hand a moment ago, would you please raise it now? Pastor, I could not raise my hand a moment ago. Would you lift your hand up? Thank you. Somebody else, would you do that? Just raise it up. Put it right back down. God bless you. I thank you. Somebody else. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. Anybody else? I could not raise my hand a moment ago. In the balcony, main floor, back to front to back, side to side. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. Could not." All right, listen very carefully now. The most important thing in this life is not how much money you got in the bank, how your career is going, how big or small a house you live in, what kind of clothes you wear. The most important thing in this life is that you're ready for the next life. Most important thing is this in this life is that you're ready for the day of death. Death comes unexpected, by surprise. If you're here this morning and you could not raise your hand, say that you know you're going to heaven, and you would like to know, 34 years ago, 35 years ago, I sat in a church service like this one, almost 35 years ago, and I didn't know where I was going either. I was like you folks this morning. I could not raise my hand. The preacher gave me the opportunity to find out how to be saved, how to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Here's what he said. He said, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, when the music begins, I want you to leave your seat, come right to the altar to one of these men, and they'll show you how to be saved. And that's what I want to say to you today. Those of you that raised your hand, don't let a crowd intimidate you. Don't let anything intimidate you. If God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, you're like those people in Acts chapter 2. What must I do? You need to come and trust Christ as your Savior. Well, I'll wait till next time. You know, there may not be a next time. This may be it. I would invite you to come as soon as the music begins. How many would say this morning, Pastor Angel, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I've been saved, but I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. Anybody like that today? Maybe you came prepared to be baptized. God bless you. If you need to be baptized, you came prepared to be baptized. You may come even now if you're ready, or come when the music begins, and they can talk to you about baptism and what it means to a believer. If there's others who have been saved and baptized, and you know this is the place that God wants you to join, you've talked to one of us about it, now's the time to come and join the church. You let the Lord lead you in that. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now in this room there are folks, God, who are not prepared for eternity. There's probably more than two or three here. Two or three raised a hand. But there's probably more than that. And Lord, Satan would love for these people to leave this morning without knowing that their eternal destiny is settled. But God, You love them. And I pray that they will respond. I pray that Your Spirit will bring them this morning to trust Christ as their Savior. Would You please speak to the hearts, God? That's what I pray for. I pray that You'll please speak to the hearts of every person in this room who's not saved. And please bring them to Christ even now, and I'll thank You for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. If you raised your hand, you're not saved. I wouldn't care who is near me or if I'm in the middle or the end of the aisle. I would say, excuse me. I would come to the aisle. I'd come right to the front. I'd say, I want to know how to be saved. We have ladies to show ladies. We have men to show men how to be born into God's family, how to know for sure that you're on the way to heaven. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. God has you all, has it all ready. You respond. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ready as you pray. Don't you step out and come right now. Just say, I need to step out. Just step right out and come this way. Oh, wait, that's right. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. I'm not sure that we're saved. Would you come? That's right. Would you come this morning? While we wait.